undergrounds are sinking sand. You are a rock and our salvation. You are our Lord and God Almighty, all powerful. You are in our hearts, yeah. And we want you. We want you and we need you every day in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Thank you because we can proclaim your name together and we can come to you and offer you this offering. It might be pleasing to you, O God, this morning. Help us living a life that pleases you, God, and help us worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! So good to worship God. It's just something that gets released. You know, there's walls that come down, and there's something in praise that just tears the enemy. He just tears the enemy from our homes. He tears the enemy from our lives, you know, from our worries, all the stuff that we've been struggling with this week. Man, there's something great about worship. We just lay it down before him. And I love it that God doesn't care how good we are at music. He doesn't say, make sure every note, that's the important thing here, every note needs to be right. Because if that's the case, you know, we wouldn't be up there. I love it that God just wants his children to praise and worship him, and that great things come of it. Great things come of it. You know, and sometimes greater things than we ever know. You believe that? We don't see things the way God sees them. We sometimes see the results that we see, and sometimes they're seen minimal. But there are great things that are happening. And some of it happens in worship. And some of it happens, you know, through that breaking off that God does. I want to just share this morning. And if you're here this morning, you wrote this note. I'm not going to say who you are, but you might be here. I hope you don't mind me reading it. I was up this morning and just starting to, you know, look through my emails as I started the day, and I was going to get in the Word. And Sunday mornings, just for me, is always kind of a, okay, here we go again. You know, what do you want, God? And honestly, sometimes I don't think I'm any different than any of you. Sometimes you struggle with a little bit of discouragement, and we wonder, you know, is anything happening? God, what are you going to do today? Please, God, move today. Anyways, sort of in that, you know, this is kind of personal, but if you see the little line I got here, yeah, well, that happens when I do this. I'm praying, and I'm pushing too hard on my nose, and I wake up in the morning, and I look at the mirror, and I got this line in the middle of my forehead, and I think, man, I hope no one figures out what I'm doing there, you know? It's about, you know, you just sometimes you feel that way. You got that, you just want, I need God. I need you today, God. I cannot do this without you, God. You know, I just need you. And so I got this mark that proves that. And anyways, here's the note. And again, I'm not going to say who this is, what her name is, but this just encouraged me. Like, you cannot believe. And I hope it encourages you too as we worship God. And just remember that things are happening that we don't always see, and that there's power. Don't forget this. There is power. God is a God of power, and he will move however he chooses to move. Hello. 5 years ago, I was in detox, and I came to your church. The song Amazing Grace played, and I immediately felt the love and God's arms come around me. I was broken. I was hurt. I was stuck in my addiction. And then my heart unfroze for the first time in a long time. And I wept, and I fell to my knees, and I bawled to Jesus. And I suddenly felt peace come upon me. The next service, I wanted more. And after the Sunday service, I got delivered from drugs and alcohol. And soon after that, I began to read my Bible that you gave me. And my journey to recovery began soon after that. I decided I needed a year-long recovery program, so I went to Langley, B.C., to the House of Hope, a part of Wagner Hills. And I began my relationship stronger and fuller in my heart with Jesus. Amen. Sure, there were some challenges, and there was lots more to my amazing testimony of what God's done. I've come out of my addiction. I now follow God, and I have 5 years clean. My husband has three.
Hallelujah.
And we wanted to check out your service. And we needed to know the time. Isn't that great? Amen. And I wrote her back 10, 15. No, I wrote her back more than that. Just, you know, so grateful, so thankful. And don't forget that God moves. God's powerful. Rick and Kim, you guys are, or Rick, one of the two, or both of you. Rick's going to share today. Love you. You want the little mic?
Good morning. A year ago, I didn't think I'd ever be up here again. I just got to start by praising God for everything he does for me. I'm trying not to cry. I just want to explain some of the things I've been going through in the last year and a half. And why things happen. As you, most of you know, that I had cheated on Kim and committed adultery. And the big question is why? Why did I do it? Well, it didn't just happen. It was probably a couple months of slowly fading away from God. I just started just putting my mind in the world. And it just started with, you know, some girl texting me and just flirt text or whatever. And at that time, I was full of a lot of pride. I was running the boss of the job site. So I thought I was better than everybody else. I didn't ask for any help, which was pride. And then the devil turned it around on me and, well, it's Kim's fault. She's not cooking me dinner all the time. And then she kept loving me no matter what. And then the devil turned around on me again and just made me feel that I wasn't good enough for her. So I convinced myself I wasn't good enough for her, and I finally had left. And then my world kind of fell apart. I hurt my kids. I hurt my wife. And the devil just used shame on me. And I was stuck in shame. I started drinking again. Actually, I was drinking every day. And then just after Christmas last year, we finally went back to work in January, and we had only worked that first day, and they left. To go, we worked the full day, and they went back home. It's like a regular day, and there was six of them in the work vehicle, and they ended up getting a head-on collision. Two of them died. And three of them were in critical condition. They were all flown to Calgary. And I was living in Calgary at the time. So it just seemed like my world was really crumbling, and God was just, I didn't know what God was doing. I just didn't understand. I just knew that I was like hitting my rock bottom. And so I ended up drinking even more to hide my pain. And I started, over the couple months, I just knew I was in the wrong spot. I couldn't hide from God. I finally ended up working out of town. the girl I was with, I knew I wasn't going to be with her. And we just ended up just splitting up. And Kim had always been waiting for me to say something to her. She was just waiting for me to say something. She wanted to hear God in me, and I hadn't shown God in me for a long time. And then Kim we just totally took it slowly and started praying together every night. Cindy passed away, and she just randomly called me, and we weren't even together. And I ended up praying for her and praying with her. And at the first time that she had heard God in my voice, God through me. And then we ended up slowly getting back together through God, listening to the word every night, and praying together. And just the last 6 months have been amazing in my life. God's been just, I've been just praying for revelation. I just want revelation from God. God showed me amazing revelation. Where I was out of town and God was, he's always there. And the guys were making fun of this guy and he was really overweight and he was working in the back of this truck. And I kind of laughed and I just got convicted of it. And God's just like, that's my son too. And we're, the biggest problem in this world is this, we think we're better than each other. And I'm no better than anyone here. And no one's better than me. God loves us all equally. And the most powerful verse that was in the Bible, it wasn't the commandments of don't commit adultery and don't do this and don't do that. God, Jesus, before he left, he said, love one another. And we want, God, he wants us to love each other. Nobody points fingers at anybody. Nobody's better than anybody. We all are brothers and sisters. And we need to show the love to each other. And I just wanted to, this song that I'm going to play, I just wanted you guys to listen to it because it's changed my life and it's powerful to Kim's life. And it's really, it's God's message today for you, and it's always been a message to me. Could you play that song, please? I just want to say that God never gives up on us. And he's always there. And we just can't give up on God when we go through hard times. God gets us through hard times so we can learn. And some of us, like me, have to learn the hard way. But God gives us revelation through it. And we can help other people through it. And I was very prideful. God humbled me. He took everything away from me. He took my family. He took my wife. It was like I was Moses, and God just wanted me to just ask him for help. Until I actually asked God for help, the help that I needed. He was just going to let me be until I was ready. But God helped me, and he can help anybody. And the power of God is amazing. Otherwise, I would not be standing up here right now, because I never ever thought I was going to be back in this church because of the shame that the devil put on me. But God's love overcomes everything. And he just wants us to love. If we have God's love in us, then we won't commit adultery and we won't kill people and we won't do all these other sins. Because God's love overcomes all. Yes, the devil will tempt me. I get tempted. But through God's word, that's what strengthens me. I use the word to help me to get through his temptations. God's always going to tempt you. You just got to listen to the word, to the right voice, God's voice. And he never tells you anything wrong to do. He always tells you everything out of love. Thank you.
We're just going to pray. And I think about many, many times over that year, it was a little more than a year, I think, just prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And I just celebrate what you're talking about today, the power of God and the power of forgiveness, and that he removes the shame. There's no more shame. He's a God who restores. And you got a great example of forgiveness in your wife, just like I do. And it's an example of God's love and God's forgiveness. We just want to pray for you. So God, today we thank you for your grace and thank you for your power to change lives and for the reminder today that when we call on you, you're there. And sometimes we cry out, God, say something. And you do, because you are God who reveals himself. So I thank you for Richard. I thank you for Kimberly and for the way you've restored this marriage, restored the relationship with you and with each other. I thank you, God, for that, for this powerful testimony, for a great reminder that when we walk away from you, you allow us to walk away. And we sometimes got to go down a very long and a very difficult road, but that you're always ready and you're always there for us to come back. Thank you for the amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. And I thank you that you're a God who's restorative. And that you redeem us and you redeem our lives from the pit. We just want to pray a special blessing on this family and on this marriage and the children. And God, that you will completely restore everything the enemy has stolen and taken. Thank you, Jesus.
God, it's just another reminder about how great you are. Yes, Lord, God. You are such a great God that you fix things that appear to be unfixable. And God, I am just so humbled by that. And we just want to praise you, Lord. There is a spirit of joy here today because you are a God who brings you bring us out of the ashes, Lord. You bring us from the ashes, and you set us on a rock. And God, there is hope for every single person. And I just praise you for this testimony today, God. And I praise you for what you've done in this marriage. And God, we want to give you all the glory and all the honor. And we just love you, God. Amen.
I just want to share some of what God has been. So the enemy, how he uses this to attack me is that he drags me back into a place of fear. He drags me back to a place where I'm afraid that Richard is going to cheat on me again. I'm afraid that Richard's going to walk out on me and the kids again. And so I'm constantly in fear, and I'm operating out of fear. And that's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to be seated with him and know that we are seated with him in heavenly places above all of what the enemy is trying to do. And I need to stand with him in the present. And I need to stand with him and trust. I may not be able to trust Richard right now, but I trust Christ in him. And that's who I put my trust in. And so I stand by choice, because it's up to us where we stand. I stand by choice in faith and hope and in Christ Jesus. And so and the enemy will try to drag me every time back into it, but I consciously have to return. And I don't know if you guys are here on New Year's. I said that I want to live fearless, a fearless life. I don't want to operate in fear any longer. And so I stand in that each day. And I ask for your prayers too, that I would continue to stand in Christ and not ever, ever go back to fear.
Thank you, Lord. And, you know, I just know that that's a message that there's many of us who need to listen to today. It doesn't matter how broken you are and what kind of situation you come from, or how maybe it's an addiction or it's infidelity or who knows what it is. I love the message today, and it's just a reminder that God loves you. And you can't leave this place today without hearing that. God loves you, even in your brokenness, even in the hard things that you've been going through. You know, that song, there was a real cry in that song. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure you heard that too. Just a cry out, God, where are you? You know, God, speak. You know, I need to hear you. And, you know, the good news is that he does. He speaks. And if you're listening today, he's already been speaking. He's already been speaking. He's already been telling you that he loves you. He's been reminding you that his grace is sufficient. He's been saying, you're my beloved, and I died for you. And I want you to live in hope, and I want you to live in victory. And the reasons why you're not living in that hope and that victory is because you're wandering away from me. And it's time that you stop wandering, and it's time that you come back into my arms, because I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the fence line, and I'm waiting for you to come home. I'm waiting for you to come home. And you need to know that there's room for you, that I've made room for you, that I am Jesus. I am the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I've made room for you. There's a place for you. There's a room for you in the mansion that I've gone to prepare for you. You just need to receive what I have to offer you. And part of what we do today is we come to the Lord's Supper to remember that and to let it become ingrained in us. This is all about just what you talked about. It's so cool how the Holy Spirit works, but it's about love. You know, God's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I died for you. And later on in the service, when we come, we're going to try to have enough time for this today. I'm going to speak real quickly, so you'll have to listen really fast today. But we're coming. We're going to have enough time for this today, because I really felt God saying that, don't rush through this. Don't quickly do this at the end of the service. Don't rush through it. Come and spend some time at my feet and know that I love you and know that I died for you and know that my blood is sufficient. Whatever it is, and that is such an amazing message. No matter what you've done, you could be the worst person in the whole world. It really doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything that you might ever have done. Anything. And I want to speak a little bit this morning, and
And it's really tied into all that stuff about God's love. When I speak, I want to speak from God's word. I want to make it clear this is what God's saying. And so what I say is based on his word, and today it's about the love. It's about the love that God has bestowed upon us who are the children of God. Amen? And that sometimes that love and our relationship with Christ gets hindered because we get in the way. And we get offended by things. So I want to just spend a few minutes this morning talking about how that's how the enemy works sometimes in the church and in our lives, that we become easily offended. And that's, we think that's not a big deal. You know, that's just pretty, you know, harmless. I'm offended sometimes. It's a big deal, and we need to talk about it. We need to understand it, okay? Some people just are hard to like. And sometimes you don't even know why. Yeah, don't put your hand up, Rick. It's not you. Sometimes we don't even know why. You know, you get a first impression of somebody, and it's not even logical or rational, but it's just something that you don't like about them. Or maybe they talk too loud. I mean, there can be, honestly, there could be 1,000 reasons why someone doesn't really rub you in the right way. They talk too loud. They've got too shiny a head. They wear funny clothes. They talk with an accent. They stand up when they stand up in church, and they shake a little bit, and we don't like that. Or they sing off key. I mean, I could give you 100 or more reasons why we might not like someone. And sometimes you don't even know why. You just don't like them. And there's something about them. You go, well, I'm glad they have other friends because I don't really want to get close to them. They're just not my kind of person. I'd rather hang around with Jerry. He's my kind of person. But I don't want to hang around with Jeff because Jeff's just strange, you know. And so sometimes, it's true, sometimes we don't know why we even get that feeling. You know, sometimes we don't know. Other times, there are things that have specifically happened in our lives that bring it about. We know why we're offended. We've been offended by someone, and we hold on to that grudge, and we nurse that grudge sometimes for years in our lives. Boy, I'm going to try to do this quickly, but I remember when Crystal and I had 4 little boys. This must have been back in about 1987 or 88, and when we went to church, and I was a pastor at that time, just starting off, and we thought we would do the dutiful thing. We took them all to the evening service. At that time, we had an evening service. You're going to remember this too. Because you don't forget. The point is, sometimes we don't forget. We have a really good memory for things that offended us. So anyways, to make a long story short, we're in the evening service, and the boys, you know, they're like 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever they were. They behaved pretty good, I thought. They're all right, you know. But at the end of the service, old Mrs. Van Dorp, and I remember her name, you know. She turned back and she said to my wife, she says, you know, and she was mad, you know. And it wasn't because the kids didn't behave, but it's because some of her own children had wandered away from God. And she says, you know, you bring those kids to church in the evening service and they'll never be in church when they get older. And we just went, oh. And I mean, we went home devastated and offended. And man, we struggle with, we nurse that hurt, you know. And I mean, I can still remember it. And I guess making a point that that's how it is with offense. We can remember them. The time someone said something to you, or someone rubbed you the wrong way, or someone shunned you, or someone gossiped about you and said something that you didn't want out there, or it wasn't even true. You remember who those people are, and we got a good memory for that. I got one of the letters I got when I fell and I was out of the ministry. I got a letter from someone who I worked with for a year. I was in an internship under him. He was my mentor. It was the most scathing, awful letter I have ever received from anyone in my life, and I kept it in a shoebox for a couple years. And I can still remember how awful it was until one day someone said to me, you should take that shoebox and you should burn it. And I did. I burned all the letters, and I no longer nursed it. But I remembered, you know, you remember the offense. You remember the person who hurt you. You remember what was done against you. We all have that. Listen to what God says in 1 Corinthians 13. a passage we often only read at weddings. I want to read this, a couple of verses for you. 1 Corinthians 13, where this is what Paul writes. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And here we go. Listen to this. It is not easily angered, or another translation, it is not easily offended, or maybe even the best translation, it is not easily provoked. That's what love is. Love is not easily provoked. It keeps no record of wrongs. Did you hear that? That's what love is. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't remember the list of all those offenses that have happened in your life. And then in Colossians, just to sort of give some more to this, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, where we read, therefore, as God's chosen people and dearly loved, it's all about love, right? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Did you hear that? Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God's word teaches us that we need to be filled with his love, and we need to forgive whatever grievances, you know, whatever grievances, whatever things I've done to hurt you or the things you've done to hurt me, whatever things have happened in our lives that we are chewing on and we are nursing and rehearsing. He says, you got to let that stuff go. You need to be free of this because it is holding you bondage. I'm going to say six really quick things. Number one, we're talking here about grievances, not sin. So sin is a different thing. I mean, there can be overlap, but we're not talking about when someone sins against you. We're talking about something that's not as significant, not as serious maybe. It's more just the offenses, the things that are the normal drama that happens in our churches and in our lives. When, as far as sin is concerned, when someone sins against you, the Bible makes it really clear that there needs to be repentance, there needs to be confession, and there needs to be restoration, right? So we know that's true about sin. But when it comes to the grievances or the things that, the offense that might happen in our lives, we're not just talking about sin. We're talking about more the things, the feeling that we get, or the way the enemy works to stir that stuff inside of us. And so that the first thing is just saying that. This is about grievances, okay? This is about how you might be grieved or hurt or offended by someone. Second thing is, it has to do with, when we talk about being easily offended, it has to do with immaturity. And I know we don't like that, don't like to hear that, don't like that word, but if you're easily offended, the Bible says it's because you lack in maturity. It's because you're still sucking on the teat. You're still drinking milk. You need to be, you know, Paul says you need to be eating the word and the solid food, and it's because you keep drinking the milk. You're not weaned yet. You get easily offended. You get set off. You're mad about this and you're mad about that. Well, it shows immaturity in the faith when that happens. And I'm just saying this morning, if that's happening a lot in your life, it's because you're not going deep enough with God, because there's immaturity and there's weakness in you. Third thing, it has to do with the self. Let's be honest about this. When I'm offended, it's because myself is offended, right? In Corinthians 13, it says that love is not self-seeking. When I am easily offended, when I'm getting ticked off and angry and mad about whatever people are saying or doing, or how they're treating me or how they're avoiding me or all that kind of stuff, it's mostly because of myself. Right? I am mad. Man, I am going to tell her, man, when I get around to it, when she's going to hear from me, I I am so offended. I. In Colossians, earlier on, you got to read this yourself if you don't believe me, but earlier on, Paul has said that we have a new self, right? If you, just before he talked about how we need to love one another and how we have to bear each other's burdens and that we ought not to hold these grievances against one another, Paul says, because you got a new self, okay? There is a brand new Lynn. The old Lynn is no longer there anymore. There's a brand new Lynn. There's a brand new Stan. And it's that old self that needs to die, amen? The old self needs to die. And when I am easily offended, it's because self. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm feeling bad for myself. Myself was offended by what you did. Listen, let me just read it again in Colossians. Colossians says, here we go. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self. You've taken off your old self with its practices, and if you put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. Put on the new self. There's a new you, Derek. There's a new Ricky. There's a new Stan. And when the new self is put on, then I'm not as easily offended. You can say this, you can say that. And I've kind of learned, too, that I really can't keep you guys all happy. I tried that for a while, and it just doesn't work. One guy's happy, one guy isn't. Ted doesn't like my sweater. You know, Bill loves my sweater. It's just the way it is, Ted. And you're going to have to live with it, right? So it's about ourselves. It's about dying to ourselves and understanding that when I am easily offended, it's because myself is running my life, and it isn't Jesus Christ who's running my life. The fourth thing is that the game of being easily offended is not like the game of tennis. In the game of tennis, there's this reciprocating thing happening. I send something into your court, you send it back into my court. We think that's what offense is like. You've offended me, I'm going to offend you back. You said bad things about me, I'm going to say bad things about you. But it's really not a game of tennis. The game of being easily offended is more like the game of solitaire. Because if you really understood this, you would understand that you are playing this game all by yourself. You think you're playing it with that other person. I'm mad at you. I know what you said. I know how you treated me. I know you took that on and you shouldn't have taken that on. You know what? I got to be honest. Hear this today. Most of the time, that person that you think you're playing tennis with has no idea. They got no idea we're playing this game, right? They have no idea that you're offended. I have had people come up to me 5 years later and say, you know we've had this battle for 5 years. You, honestly, you know what you said 5 years ago, and you know how I have been feeling about this for 5 years, and this has been going back and forth for 5 years. And I, one time I said to this lady, and what's your name? And maybe that's just because I offend so much, because that can happen. But honestly, most of the time, the person you are so offended with, they don't even have a clue how you feel. You are playing this game with yourself. And you ought to be aware of this. Because it isn't effective, and it's leaving you ineffective in ministry and in your walk with God. And the power of the Spirit really won't flow through you because you keep playing this solitaire game. You think you're hurting him. You are not hurting him. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know. Fifth thing. We are all guilty. You are not the only one who's been offended. And as a matter of fact, you have been the offender more times than what you want to admit. It's like there's this bank, the Grace Bank, and we need to be careful that we're putting deposits into the Grace Bank because we're certainly taking a lot of withdrawals. You are not the only one who's been offended, and the reality is you have been an offender maybe more times than you know. And sometimes we walk around and we get into the self-pity thing, you know. We're feeling bad for ourselves. And we start thinking, I'm always on the end of the stick. I'm always getting it from everybody. Poor me. Poor me. You know, and we start to look at the ground. We shuffle our feet. And, you know, life is tough. Well, you know what? You need to understand this, that you are as much of a perpetrator as you are a victim. That every one of us has offended other people. We're all guilty of that. And here's a very cool verse to prove it. You know, once in a while you get a verse, you go, wow, I have never heard that before, but I really like it. So this is the one from Ecclesiastes. Listen to this. It's very short. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. Here's some good advice. Listen. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know that in your heart that many times you yourselves have cursed others. Isn't that good? I didn't make that up, you know. I didn't make that up so it would fit my word. It's just God's word, right? Don't listen. Listen. Do not listen to me. Don't listen to the voice of the one who's cursing you. Don't listen too carefully to what other people are saying. Don't be easily offended. And, if I might add, don't be easily offensive. Some of you offend too much. And you know that's true. And so it's time that we take God at his word. He says, here's what love is. Love is not easily offended. We bear one another's burdens. We bear one another's burdens. We release, we let go of the grievances. You got to let it go. You can't keep rehearsing it and nursing it and remembering all that stuff that's happened. And here's the sixth thing, and I'm going to end on that. And here's the reason why. It's because the enemy, and believe me, this is true, the enemy uses the offenses that happen in our lives against us. He uses those offenses, and they can be little things. They can be things that nobody intended at all in the first place. They can be things that are small that become huge in our lives. Tiny little pebbles, what they really are, and they become massive boulders that we can't get past. Listen. The enemy uses that to tear us apart, to bring disunity, and to render us ineffective. And that's why God said, you need to love each other. What? Yes. You need to love each other. Even Jason? Yes. And Tola? Yes. You need to love him. And Andy? Well, Andy's easy to love. But you need to love. You are my beloved, Jesus says. You're my beloved. You need to love each other, and you real love, and here's the real point here today, real love is not self-seeking, and it is not easily offended, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? I can imagine that Jesus, when he sat around the table with his 12 disciples, all 12 of them were there. I can imagine that Jesus had every reason to be offended, don't you think? That if he really wanted to, because being Jesus, he knew what was going to happen the next day, Jesus could have been offended. He could have started grumbling a little bit. You know that, Thomas? That guy is such a disappointment to me. He is so negative. Everything he doubts, you know. He's never with the program, that Thomas. He's so offensive. And that James and John, I can't believe James and John, you know. The other day they came to me and they wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I got to have a meal with them now. One wanted to sit on my right and the other one wanted to sit on my left. Really? You guys? You? And then Peter. Peter is so full of himself. So full of Peter this, Peter that. I'll do this, I'll do that. I'm so offended by that arrogance. And then there's Judas. Do you think that Jesus had every reason to be offended that Judas was sitting at his table? And then there's you. And then there's you. And there's me. And we come to his table. Do you think that he has every reason to be offended with you or with me? I said this last week, and it's going to end on this again, because it's what God's saying to me, that I am so amazingly grateful that my Lord is not easily offended. I am so amazingly grateful that he doesn't get all bent out of shape about some cartoon that someone might be drawing about him and saying, he says to us, cut everybody's heads off because someone made a cartoon and I'm offended by this. But rather, my Jesus said, no, I love you. And I love you so much that I will actually take your offense with me, and I will nail those offenses to the cross. Amen. Thank you, God. So, God, today we got time to come to your table, and we want to worship you, and we're so grateful that you see past what we've done, and that you keep depositing in the bank of grace for us. You just keep depositing. There's always enough, always enough. We want to come to your table today and give you all the glory. We want to celebrate the blood of Christ that has washed away all of our sins. And we want to remember the body of Christ, which was broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray today that we'll just draw near to you. And we'll also hear your word, that we'll be maybe admonished. That there'll be a new heart and a new self that comes into us. We come to your table with gratitude. And we come remembering that we should do this right to the very end. Do this until you come again. And as we drink and as we eat, we're crying out, Jesus, to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lynn, will you want to come and help me with this table? And what I'd like to do this morning is ask our leadership team to serve this meal today. So would you pick that up? So anyone who's here, I know we're missing a few of our leaders, but it's really good for you to know who our leaders are and how to pray for them. So, Tim and Norma and Crystal and Alvin and whoever else, if you come up and kind of stand behind here, before we do that, we're going to prepare ourselves with a song. And you might be wondering, what is this all about? What does this mean? Why are we doing this? This song kind of explains it. So just stay seated. All right. Anyone know where I put my glasses? Thank you, Lynn. Okay, sorry about that delay. So just close your eyes and listen. And I'm just going to do it just with me and the guitar.
Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. See his body, his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial that we face. Say amen. None too lost to be saved. None too broken nor ashamed. All are welcomed in this place. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
I hope that helps you to understand why we come. I just invite you all of you who've given your hearts to Jesus, to come and taste the freedom and the victory of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to, we're going to sing this together, and I'm going to ask you to stand in a big circle, and our leadership team are going to serve you while we sing that again together. Why don't we find a place and stand?
Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? Say, take this bread, take this wine. Now the simple made divine for any to receive.
That's good.
By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Go louder.
See his body, his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial that we face. None too lost to be saved. None too broken or ashamed. All are welcomed in this place. By your mercy we come to your table.
Sing it out.
By your grace you are making us faithful.
Lord, we remember.
We remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord Jesus, come in glory. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace, you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. Remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Thanks. Thank you, God. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he was with the scoundrels who were known as his disciples. And he was with them knowing who they were and knowing that truly they were a lot like us. And he chose, of all the people to associate with, he chose to associate with sinners like me and you and Peter and James and John and Judas. And when he was with them, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, and I give it to you. Take, eat, remember, and believe that Jesus died for your sins." Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. That out of the brokenness comes wholeness. That out of the ashes comes beauty, right? That out of the pit comes salvation. Amen? Yeah. And after that, after he broke the bread, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new cup. And it's the new covenant in my blood. You are brand new. There's a new self. There is forgiveness of sins. There is victory and there is freedom for you. There really is. He loves you. Take and drink all of it." The psalmist says, "Taste and see that I am good." And I always think that when we drink that, you think about how good God is. How do we say thanks? Because Jesus said that this is a cup of thanksgiving, and all we can do is say thanks. It's the only response. So how do you say thanks to God today? For his love? Yeah. How do you say thanks? Thank you, God, for your patience. Yeah, it's grace. Thank you for your grace, oh God. Thank you for your grace, oh God. How about thank you for Jesus? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life and that you suffered all the offense that I gave you. You suffered it, and it is there no more. Amen? Yeah. Thank you for your sacrifice and your stripes. Amen. Hallelujah. The best gift of all, the gift of salvation. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, God. How about thank you for hope? You know, I just got a real sense that there's some of you here today, you need to know that there's hope. I don't want to point my finger at you, but there's hope. You got to know this. There's hope. You're seeing it, right? You know God's already doing stuff in your life. I know he is. But there's hope. God is not done with you. There's hope. Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever's hard in your life, there's hope. You got to know it. Not because I say it, because God says it. There's hope for you. There's hope. Here is. You know that, right, John? There's hope. I know you do. Things are going, right, because of God. For the first time in a long time? Is that true? Yeah. There's hope. Just hear it from God today. There's such great hope. Such great hope. Brian, would you pray for Mickey, just pray for the baby. I feel we need to do that. Is that okay? And Arlene will... put our hand on that little belly. We need to pray for a healthy baby right now. Thank you, God.
People that she's helped, yeah. Lord God. And we don't come to you offering our works, but God, we offer a changed heart. And we thank
yes,
you
God.
How much you've changed Mickey's heart, how much you've changed your life. We thank you for this new life.
Amen.
Wow, this is hope.
Yeah.
This is a miracle that you give all of us. And Lord, just as a body, as her family, Lord, we want to own our responsibility. To be there, to love, to help, to nurture, and show your love to this child.
Hallelujah.
And God, when we dedicate, and we say dedicate, we don't christen, we dedicate this child to you. We take ownership that we are her family.
Yes, God.
And that we will love her, and we will love this child.
Hallelujah.
And God, just help us to rejoice. When she rejoices,
Jesus.
To mourn when she mourns.
Mm-hmm.
And again, God, I know Mickey's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you showed it to me. And thank you for the love that you showed through her to me. In Jesus' name.
And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. A couple more. What are we thankful for? How do you know God's real? How do you experience that power of God? The abundant life, right? The abundant life that he's given us to live. Yes.
We had a miracle in our town this week. And your sermon was very timely. Jesus' oldest son had an offense against him. And it didn't long before Christmas that this had happened. And he kept wanting to talk about it, wanting to resolve it. We didn't know what it was. And God worked it out on Friday that he came to our house. It was all resolved. And finally, he's been restored. Relationships.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, yeah. He breaks the power of canceled sin, right? He sets the captive free. Let that offense just roll off. And some of you got good reason to be offended. There's things going on that, you know, you don't deserve, but you got to let it go. Let it go. Our love for one another. Amen. The God power to carry on. Is that what you said? That's what you meant, yeah. Yes?
I'm thankful the great shepherd still speaks. God still speaks. He has not his voice. The one who spoke in the whole universe after the day, he still speaks to us today, but it's still small voice and we want to hear
him. Amen. So the good shepherd, I'm not sure everyone hears it all. That's why I'm repeating it, but the good shepherd still speaks. And He knows our names. That's what you said, right? Amen. He knows our names. He's faithful. Yes.
I'm grateful that the Lord showed me that I was offended the most at myself. And that I forgive myself today.
Okay. Okay. Good word. Thanks. Thank you, Iris. That's a good word. God says, you know, we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, it's really hard to love our neighbors. And if you can't love yourself, just love yourself the way God, see yourself the way God sees you. He sees you as incredibly valuable and cherished and important, and you are lovable. He says that. So. Okay, first, Diane. Yeah, I know that too. So thank you, God, for your comfort, and that as you comfort us, you give us a supernatural ability to counsel and to give comfort to other people. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew.
I'm grateful that it's not only this, it's also so much more that God has an amazing future for all of us, and it's not like anything we can imagine or we want, because God gives us what is best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Everything that God owns, he says, give that.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Good word. Is God good? Yes, brother. I don't know your name, so tell me your name.
Jeremy.
Jeremy, welcome. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Good word. I don't get called brilliant often, so thank you. But I know what you're saying, and I should deflect that. I'm sorry about that, but it's that there is common sense, because this is truth. This is truth. And if you follow this way, I know this is what you're saying, if you follow the way of Jesus, you will have that peace, and you know it's true. Amen. One more, and I'm going to ask Carrie. Sorry, Brian. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah, clearly. Clearly God's got a sense of humor, or he wouldn't be putting up with this, right? Clearly. He looks at us and he goes, it's okay, they're my kids. It's all right. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Let's all, if you're not standing, can you stand and let's hold hands together? And you got a mic up there still? Another mic? Yeah, would you give the mic to Sonny? Sonny, would you pray a closing prayer for us? Do you mind? I know it's on the spot, but you can do it. You can do it. Let's just hold our hands together, and Sonny's going to pray, and then I'll give you the blessing, and then we're going to sing one more song if you want to stick around. My Jesus, I love thee. Thank you, Sonny. Let's worship God with this.
Jesus, we love you so much.
Yes.
Your love has been felt in my life more these last few weeks than in my whole 67 years here on the earth, so I want to thank you for that today. Thank you for this family. Look at all of us. We're all shining, and yes, Pastor Stan is brilliant, and he's a shining light. That means he's a shining light in Red Deer and in this church. This is a special place where people don't judge, where people come and lift one another up, and we just want to thank you, Lord, for every jot and tittle, everything that you give us, the little things. And yes, as Carrie said, thank you for the laughter. Something I've been taught over the years is to laugh at myself. You stub your toe, hey, I don't need to swear anymore. I can just laugh and carry on and pray for healing really quickly. So thank you again, Father,
you,
for
God.
This day, the wonderful sunshine, and
yes,
giving us communion that
yeah.
we can share in your body. In your blood. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Worship Jesus. For thee all the follies
of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever